Good evening, everybody. Before we read, let's pray. Father God, as we come to your word tonight, we pray that you'll give us a clear understanding of your messages for us, and we thank you so much for the availability of your word to us. We pray that you'll give Tristan clarity as he teaches from your word tonight, and we pray that we'll be able to carry these lessons out the door with us too. Amen. So Proverbs chapter 18, and we'll go all the way through to the end of the chapter. An unfriendly man pursues selfish ends. He defies all sound judgment. A fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions. When wickedness comes, so does contempt, and with shame comes disgrace. The words of a man's mouth are deep waters, but the fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook. It is not good to be partial to the wicked or to deprive the innocent of justice. A fool's lips bring him strife, and his mouth invites a beating. A fool's mouth is his undoing, and his lips are a snare to his soul. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. One who is slack in his work is brother to one who destroys. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. The wealth of the rich is their fortified city. They imagine it an unscalable wall. Before his downfall, a man's heart is proud, but humility comes before honour. He who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame. A man's spirit sustains him in sickness, but a crushed spirit, who can bear? The heart of the discerning acquires knowledge. The ears of the wise seek it out. A gift opens the way for the giver and ushers him into the presence of the great. The first to present his case seems right, till another comes forward and questions him. Casting the lot settles disputes and keeps strong opponents apart. An offended brother is more unyielding than a fortified city, and disputes are like the barred gates of a citadel. From the fruit of his mouth, a man's stomach is filled. With a harvest from his lips, he is satisfied. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favour from the Lord. A poor man pleads for mercy, but a rich man answers harshly. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother.
Good evening again. It'd be great to keep your Bibles open there in Proverbs. That would be really handy. As there always is, there's an outline inside your news sheet, and I'll give you a bit of a picture of where we're going. I read this week that we say, on average, 15,000 words every day. 15,000. That's thousands more than I would have guessed. I wonder how many you've clocked up so far today. I wonder if you're getting close to your 15,000. That's a lot of words, you know. If you blurt out all those words at once, I think it comes out at just over an hour and a half of non-stop talking. I wonder how much thought you put in to choosing those 15,000 words. Because, you know, 15,000, that is just a small fraction of the words we could use. Each of us knows, again, this is on average, each of us knows 50,000 different words. 50,000, every time you open your mouth, you've got 50,000 words to choose from. Makes you wonder how you ever choose the right one, doesn't it? On top of that, when you do open your mouth, There's actually 17 very common mistakes that you can make. Things like spoonerisms, omissions, substitutions, additions, anticipations. I'm probably going to demonstrate some of them for you tonight, okay? And things that make you more likely to make one of those 17 mistakes include things like talking too fast, talking too slowly, being old or being young, being nervous or being overconfident, multitasking or being tired. Tell you what, it's no wonder that we mix up our words so often. It's no wonder we so often say dumb things. It is a wonder that any of us can ever say anything intelligent. It's no wonder that so often we cause confusion and even hurt with our words. The book of Proverbs is here to help, though. The book of Proverbs wants to help us to live steady, good, effective lives. And in helping us do that, Proverbs has a lot to say about our words. If we want to live life well, Proverbs says we need to know how to use our words well. We need wise words. Chapter 18 that Monica read out for us, much like what we read last week, it's a bit of a random example of what all of these chapters in this middle section of Proverbs are like. From chapter 10 all the way through to chapter 29, it's just full of these pithy two-line proverbs just listed one after the other. And one topic sits next to another topic, and it's all a bit of a patchwork. But what's so good about it is as we take it all in, we start to see patterns emerging. Proverbs, it touches down on all kinds of different things in life, including the topic of how we use our words. And so tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to pull at a thread of the patchwork of Proverbs. We're going to pull at the thread of words. According to Proverbs, words are worth getting right because words are powerful. Have a look with me at Proverbs 18, verse 21. Because we're going to be looking at a whole bunch of different proverbs, different verses from this section, the verses are going to be up on the screen. This first one will be up on the screen, but this is in that chapter that we just read a moment ago. Proverbs 18, verse 21. It says, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." The tongue has the power of life and death. That's a lot of power, isn't it? Or take a look at how chapter 25, verse 15 puts it. "Through patience, a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue can break a bone." Which is interesting, isn't it? Because don't we learn as little kids to say, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." Unfortunately, it's just not true, is it? It's just not true. We know it's not true. We grow up, we learn very quickly that words most definitely can hurt. Words can hurt a whole lot because words are very powerful. Powerful to hurt, but also powerful to heal. Have a look at Proverbs 12, verse 18. "The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." This is why we need to be wise with our words, because they can pierce like a sword, or they can heal. And we know that's true, don't we? Just from experience, we can all think of times where someone has said something to us that has pierced us. Someone said something that has hurt us very deeply. Unfortunately, we can all think of times where we've even knowingly used our words to hurt someone else. But those words that heal, how good are they? Proverbs 15, verse 23. It says, "A person finds joy in giving an apt reply, and how good is a timely word?" How good is a timely word? How good is it when someone says something that heals? How good is it when someone says just the right thing at just the right time? How good is it when someone says something that picks you up? How good is it when someone says something to you that is so refreshing? Refreshing words. How good is that? Words are powerful. Words like that, they can brighten your day. In fact, they can brighten your whole week. Words are powerful. So rather than sticks and stones, maybe a much wiser saying to have in our heads is, think before you speak. Think before you speak. Stop and think about the impact of your words before you speak. Think about the impact of your words before you complain. Think about the impact of your words before you spread gossip. Think about the power of your words before you make a sarcastic remark or before you criticise. Teenagers, think about the impact of your words before you tease, before you make a joke about someone. Stop and consider the impact before you hit send on that email or that text message. Because words are really powerful. Powerful to hurt, powerful to heal. Because they're powerful, Proverbs shows us what wise words look like. Because Proverbs, like I said, wants to help us to use our words well. So Proverbs shows us three things that characterize wise words. Firstly, Proverbs says wise words are few. Have a look, Proverbs 10 verse 19. It says, when words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. See, the wise person knows that the more you say, the more chance you're going to cause harm. So the wise person speaks less. Proverbs 29 verse 20 says, do you see someone who speaks in haste? There's more hope for a fool than for them. When we speak in haste, we are very likely to say things that hurt rather than heal. Things that are thoughtless rather than thoughtful. Given how powerful words are, Proverbs says we are foolish if we speak in haste. Because we know, don't we, that once our words are out there, it's really hard to take them back, isn't it? The damage is done. And we know that no matter how much we apologise, no matter how much we try to backtrack, it's never the same as if we had never said that dumb thing in the first place. Trying to take words back, it's like trying to put toothpaste back into the tube. It just doesn't work, does it? So Proverbs says, the wise person holds their tongue. Chapter 11, verse 12 says, whoever derides their neighbour has no sense, but the one who has understanding holds their tongue. 17, verse 27 says, the one who has knowledge uses words with restraint, and whoever has understanding is even-tempered. Even fools are thought wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongues. It's pretty simple. The wise person chooses when to open their mouth very, very carefully. Wise words are not words spoken in haste. Wise words are not words spoken thoughtlessly. The second thing Proverbs says about wise words is that wise words are honest. Proverbs 12 verse 22 says, the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy. According to God, wise words are true words. Now that seems kind of obvious, doesn't it? But I reckon it's worth pausing and thinking carefully and examining that idea, because I reckon very, very often we think the exact opposite of that is true. Very often we think that a lie, usually a small lie, very often we think a lie is actually a good way to go. You know, you make a mistake and someone notices and you say, well, it wasn't me. That seems like a smart thing to do. That seems like a smart way to stay out of trouble. It seems wise. Being a bit flexible with the truth seems like a clever way to live a successful life. But have a look what Proverbs says quite graphically in chapter 20, verse 17. It says, food gained by fraud tastes sweet, but one ends up with a mouthful of gravel. Lying, fraud, dishonesty. In the end, Proverbs says, it's never the best option. It's never the best option because you'll end up with a mouthful of gravel. It's not the wise option because lies tend to lead to more lies. You know, you've got to tell more lies to cover up the first lie. It's not the best option because when you get caught in a lie, then you end up disgraced, you end up shamed. But Proverbs says that it's also not the best option because lies are never something that affects only you. Lies always affect someone else. Lies always hurt someone else. Have a look at chapter 25, verse 18. It says, like a club or a sword or a sharp arrow is one who gives false testimony against a neighbor. Lies always hurt someone else. Lies hurt the person that they're about. Lies hurt the person they're told to. Lies hurt rather than heal. And that makes lies unloving. And in God's world, that's just not okay. Whether it's today, whether it's tomorrow, next week, next year, maybe even if it's when you stand face to face with God, Proverbs says dishonesty will be uncovered. At some point, dishonesty will be uncovered. Proverbs 19, verse 5 says, a false witness will not go unpunished, and whoever pours out lies will not go free. Wise words are honest words. So look, when you make a mistake, own up to it. When you're putting forward your case, be truthful with the facts. By being honest, you will love the person you're talking to. And that's the third thing about wise words. Wise words are loving. Have a look at Proverbs 10, verse 11. It says, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Wise words strengthen people. Wise words are a fountain of life. Wise words build people up. Wise words help people. Wise words never hurt people. Chapter 15, verse 4 says, the soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. Unwise words are unloving. They crush the spirit. And that's why, as you read through this middle section of Proverbs, over and over again, multiple times in every chapter along the way, you come across all kinds of warnings against unwise words. Warnings against unloving words that hurt other people. Warnings against wicked words that take what others have. Warnings against harsh words that stir up anger. Warnings against gossiping words that separate close friends. Warnings against flattering words that in the end are just empty. Warnings against corrupt words that cause trouble. Warnings against godless words that destroy neighbours. Warning against dishonest words that pervert justice. Warnings against foolish words that spread ignorance and stupidity. Unwise and unloving words. Proverbs has absolutely nothing good to say about them. Nothing good at all. Wise words, on the other hand, wise words are loving. Chapter 16, verse 21. The wise in heart are called discerning, and gracious words promote instruction. Wise words, loving words, gracious words, those are good words in the sight of the Lord. And so as people who fear the Lord, these are the kinds of words that we need to be speaking. This is what we must do as a matter of righteousness. We followers of Jesus, we Christians, we are compelled to use and choose wise and loving words. And why wouldn't we want to? Because have a look at chapter 16, verse 24. It says, gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. What a beautiful picture of wise words. Proverbs at various points describes wise words as life-giving, healing, full of truth, full of grace, encouraging, protective, thoughtful, gentle, patient, correcting, rescuing, peacemaking, words that spread wisdom and spread knowledge. Those are the words that we should be using. I don't know if you're one of those people who lies awake at night replaying the day's conversations in your head. I know that a lot of us do that. I reckon maybe we all should. Maybe we should replay our conversations, and maybe you'd find it helpful to think over the day, notice that moment when, maybe out of jealousy, you spread gossip about someone. Maybe you could make a decision to not do that again, and maybe actually next time, instead of spreading gossip, you could find that person and encourage them by telling them what you appreciate about them. Instead of firing off a sharp text or email, maybe you could pick up the phone armed with words that are patient, words that are gentle and gracious. Words said out of spite for someone could be replaced with words that are protective of them, words that are life-giving rather than spirit-crushing. Unwise words could be replaced with thoughtful words, words that help someone to keep on trusting Jesus and living for Jesus. And in the end, those are the best words we could ever use, aren't they? Those are the most wise and the most loving words possible, words that point people to Jesus, words that help people grow in their love of Jesus. What a beautiful way to use our words. Those would be wise words for people who fear God. And look, Night Church, I hope that as a church family, we use those kinds of words every week and, in fact, every day when we talk to each other. Words that build us up together in our faith in Christ Jesus. There are no wiser words, there are no more loving words than those kinds of words. If you struggle with knowing what words are wise and what ones are unwise, and look, I think we all do, Proverbs has some good news for us, because Proverbs actually tells us where wise words come from. And it's in chapter 16, verse 23. And this one is worth looking up if you have your Bible there. If you've still got it open at chapter 18, just flip back a page. Chapter 16, verse 23. This is about where wise words come from. It says, "A wise man's heart guides his mouth, and his lips promote instruction." Our words come from our hearts, because our hearts guide our mouths. Which makes a lot of sense, doesn't it, when you think back over what we've heard so far in Proverbs. Remember that the foundation of all wisdom is the fear of the Lord. The foundation of all wisdom is having hearts that fear the Lord. We've heard that a whole bunch of times already in the last few weeks, haven't we? And so wise words start with hearts that fear the Lord. And you know, Jesus says exactly the same thing. Have a look with me. Turn your Bible to Luke chapter 6. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus compares our words, the words that we speak, with fruit on a tree. Luke chapter 6, verse 43. Jesus says, "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People don't pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. I've got some fruit trees in my backyard, and you know what? It would not even cross my mind to go looking for apples on my grapevine. It would not even cross my mind to look for lemons off my pear tree. If I want lemons, I need a lemon tree. This is what Jesus is saying. It is obvious. We don't even have to think about it. We know. And just like that, Jesus says, if we want wise words, we need wise hearts. That's good news and that's bad news. It's bad news because our hearts are full of selfishness and defensiveness and anger and envy and pride. It's no wonder so often our words are selfish and defensive and angry. They're just reflecting the state of our hearts. But this is good news because, of course, Jesus gives us new hearts. Jesus is remaking our hearts. Jesus is changing us. He's recreating us. He is making us into new people, new creations. And as new creations, that's exciting because that includes new words. But without hearts that are right with God, there's really no hope of us ever having wise words. Because our mouths speak what our hearts are full of. So let me suggest that the most important words you could ever say are words that are firstly, foremostly directed at Jesus. Words asking Jesus to change your heart. Words asking Jesus for forgiveness. Words asking Jesus to replace the old with something new. And look, the promise of the gospel is if you do that, if you trust in Jesus, then his spirit will be at work in your heart. He will be at work in your heart, making your heart new. So that's the beginning of wise words. It's directing your first words to Jesus. And when Jesus begins that work of change in your heart, then you can begin to speak wise words. For you, that might mean fewer words. For you, that might mean more honest words. For you, that might mean more loving words. Words that heal rather than hurt. More patient, more gracious, more forgiving words. Gentle words, helpful words. And I really hope that it includes words that build others up because they are gospel words. 15,000 words every day, and they have the power of life and death. Night Church, let's make sure they are wise words coming from new hearts. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for speaking to us with words of love. Thanks for speaking to us with words of forgiveness, words of salvation, words that are so full of patience and grace. Father, please shape our hearts in fear of you. Please give us wise hearts, hearts that know that you're God and we're not. Father, give us hearts that trust in Jesus. And God, may our new hearts overflow with new words. Father, may we be full of words that want everyone we speak to hear the gospel and love the gospel and grow in the gospel. Father, we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.